Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Second down and one, 28 of Buffalo. Play action fake. Clifford, long and deep. He wants it all. In the end zone, Dotson, touchdown, Penn State. Third down and six, their own 31. Myers back. Myers delivers near side. Picked off Reed, 30, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Penn State. John Reed takes it to the house. And the Nittany Lions retake the lead. Shorter in the game to the far side. Dotson, Hamler, near side. Wing right, Fryermuth. Far hash. Throws over the middle. Fryermuth's got it to the five. Touchdown, Penn State. One play and the Nittany Lions are home. Trips near side. And it'll be Clifford to the 40. Far side, 45, 50. Clifford turns it on to the 40, 35, 30. Shot to the 20, 15, 10, 5. And tripped up inside the 5 at the 2-yard line. Sean Clifford takes it 58 yards. 6:22 to go in the third. Penn State looking to expand an 8-point lead. Clifford waits with Kane to his right. It's Noah Kane, left side, lowers the shoulder, touchdown, Penn State. The Nittany Lion offense has found its rhythm here in the third. Journey Brown to the left to Clifford on fourth and two. Clifford throws, he's got Fryermuth, upfield 25, Fryermuth 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown, Penn State. Pat Fryermuth, what a play, what a tremendous catch. Back goes Clifford, play action fake, sets, waits, fires it long and deep, far side for Dotson, got it to 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown, Penn State. James, congratulations on the win. You watch a lot of tape. If there's any player that comes close to you in watching tape, it is John Reed. What did your senior mean to you tonight?
Yeah, I'm really happy for him. You know, he's a guy that has invested so much in every area. You know, he's getting a degree in computer engineering. He's been there since his freshman year, has an injury, has a setback, and just keeps preparing and just keeps investing and keeps investing. So to see him now 2 weeks in a row play at a really high level, we couldn't be more proud of him. I also think, you know, we're going to look at possibly him out staying out at the corner even when we go nickel, because what's going on is he does a great job for us inside, but you know, we gave up two big plays on the perimeter on, you know, what would be our third corner. So we just got to look at that a little bit more.
Talk about Dotson. He just seems to be a fluid receiver out there and just makes great cuts, and in the big two touchdowns he had today.
Yeah, it's very natural. It's been that way since his freshman year. It doesn't ever look like he's running. He's so smooth and effortless in the way he changes direction, the way he catches the ball. He's getting bigger and stronger and more explosive, building that, you know, that right now that Big Ten body, and then, you know, eventually an NFL body. But I think he's got a very bright future. Everything just comes natural to him. We got to make adjustments earlier. We got to be able to do them on the sideline during the game. I think that's the difference with a young team. The coaches are making that adjustment, but it's hard to get the players to do it when they're young and inexperienced to make the adjustment between series. So I think that's an important step for us. Again, I thought we did a good job at halftime when we were able to sit down and go through it in detail with them, but we got to be better. We got to be better, no doubt, during the game. But I thought our coaches were great. Our players will grow from this, there's no doubt. I thought offensively we were inconsistent. It was either a touchdown or a three and out. We just got to be more consistent to help our defense. And then our defense has got to get themselves off the field, too, on some of them drives.
Penn State head football coach James Franklin after the big Penn State win on Saturday night, the 28-point third quarter, and the John Reed house call, putting the Nittany Lions to 2-0 on the year. And here it is. It is Pitt Week. And it's another week of the Steve Jones Show here on WKOK. Steve will check in just a moment from the Sunbury Motor Studio. By the way, our Monday show is always brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street, Sunbury. Visit purdyinsurance.com. The coverage you need, the price that'll fit your budget, and just the peace of mind knowing that you've got the Purdy team in your corner when life happens, because they've got the products and the services that are the most trusted, the ones that you definitely want to want to have in your portfolio. Brewers, that's Purdy Insurance, Market Street, Sunbury. Visit them in person, Market Street, Sunbury, or online at purdyinsurance.com. All right, so we'll have more details on the Penn State win over Buffalo throughout the show. And we'll also talk Philly sports, too. Scheduled to join us will be Matt Leon from KYW in Philadelphia on the Eagles' victory yesterday over the Redskins. And also we'll have, for the first time this football season, new Bucknell football coach Dave Cicchini. We will have him every Monday afternoon at 4:35 joining us for the rest of the season here on WKOK. Bucknell will have their first home game of the season this Saturday night at 6 against Villanova, which will be live on Eagle 107. It's also Hero Appreciation Day at Christie on Saturday. Lots of family activities will be going on as well. There will be a special tailgate section for the kids with face painting, a bounce house, and also there will be fireworks at the end of the evening following the game, brought to you by Sunbury Broadcasting, Wise Markets, and Silver Tip. So looking forward to that in Lewisburg on Saturday. Also look forward to Dave's appearance as well here on WKOK. So we did mention it is Penn State Pitt Week. It'll be the final game in the four-year series with Penn State and the Pitt Panthers. The voice of the Pitt Panthers, Bill Hillgrove. Billy will join us tomorrow, scheduled to be with us at 4:06.
Awesome.
Hi there.
So Penn State won Saturday?
Just want to make sure. Halftime, no worries. No worries. It's almost like 2016 all over again, but this time a little bit of a younger team.
Let's look at it a little differently, okay? When you get into a game like that, there's a certain formula Buffalo needs to win the game. And this is where, for example, my basketball experience comes into play, because Penn State's been on the opposite end, where Penn State's the team that has had the small margin of error, and there have been times over the years where Penn State needed to play a certain way to win. So I'm used to it. And so, in football, it's usually on the other shoes, on the other foot. In this case, of course, it was. Penn State's the more talented team, but there's a way for Buffalo to win. Now, the way for Buffalo to win the game in a small margin, and we talked about this on Friday, so this is not going to be a foreign conversation, is that they needed to run the ball. They also needed to eat a lot of clock. And what did I say repeatedly last week? Buffalo needed to shorten the game, reduce the number of possessions in the game. In the first half, they were doing that. They were reducing the number of possessions in the game. Instead of having this be a game where there's 14 to 16 possessions, Buffalo wanted this to be a game where there were 10 possessions by each team, five each half. So how do you do that? You run the ball effectively, which they did. They converted on third down. They had time-consuming drives. The field goal drive knocked 8 minutes and 34 seconds off the clock in the first half. Now, the key was, for Penn State's point of view, you just had the ball 8:34, you just had 19 plays, and you got three points out of it. So, yes, Buffalo needed to score, did, but only got three. The crusher was at the end of the half. You have now, in the field position game, pinned them at the four-yard line. Their punt returner, Tito Overton, makes a big mistake. He's at the 10, and he ran back, and he fair caught the ball at the four-yard line. So you're thinking, okay, on a team that cannot afford to make any mistakes, they just made a mistake. And Penn State's got him right where they want him. Student section right behind him, 22,000 strong. noise, redshirt freshman quarterback, never been through this before. And they got out of it. And they put together a 96-yard drive and took the lead before the half. Give them credit for what they did. But again, when you're playing a game where the margin of error is thin, you can ill afford a major mistake. Right? Overton's mistake was a small mistake. It was a mistake, but it wasn't a catastrophic mistake. When you're playing the game that Buffalo has to play, where the margin of error is thin, you're still one play away in a game like that from making the catastrophic mistake. And that's the John Reed interception. Penn State takes the ball to start the second half, drives it, Ricky Slade fumbles. Now you're on the Buffalo side. This is what you're thinking on the Buffalo side. Like, perfect. We get the ball back. We're going to drive the ball again. We're going to use our running game, short passing game, maybe take a shot here or there, but we're going to go 14 plays. We're going to expand our lead. And instead, on third down, he threw an out, and John Reed picked it off and ran it back for a touchdown. And the game, for all intents and purposes, ended. Because that blew up Buffalo's margin of error.
We'll say back in the early part of the second quarter, and not just that point in the game, it looked like they were really focusing in on Tariq Castro Fields, but he made two very good plays back-to-back. There was the first trickeration play the Buffalo made, and Castro Fields stayed at home and avoided them from having a big play, and also made another big play right after that.
They targeted Castro Fields 9 times. You know how many completions they had out of the 9? 2. Okay? When somebody has a 22% completion percentage against that corner, the problem is, okay, we'll go to the other side. The long completions they made were against Keaton Ellis and Donovan Johnson. Now, Johnson, I thought, had pretty good coverage on his play, to be honest with you. I think it was just a really good throw and a good catch. As I've said many times, sometimes, quote, the other guy makes a play. I thought Donovan Johnson's coverage was pretty good. But those were the two long completions against Donovan Johnson and Keaton Ellis. John Reed, they had no answer for. Castro Fields, they were 2 of 9 against him. 9 targets, 2 completions. That's it. But again, that margin of error thing, I mean, nobody ever talks about this stuff. It's like you feel like you're having a fresh conversation with people when you do stuff like this. The other part, too, is this. There is, in today's college sports world, seniors are like gold. There aren't as many of them anymore. I don't blame anybody. If they have an opportunity to go out and make some coin, I don't blame them at all. We all want to make some coin. Everybody does. So I completely understand it. But it's amazing. You look at who are 2 of the top performers for Penn State in the game the other night. John Reed, Cam Brown, what are they? 4th-year senior, 5th-year senior. Pretty good. It helps when you have those kind of guys around. It doesn't help a little. It helps a lot. I don't mind the time of possession in the game. I mind it in this regard. They had 23 third down plays Buffalo did. They converted too many of them. And it's not the 42-43 minutes, because look, Buffalo had the ball 42.5 minutes. And in their 42.5 minutes of possession, they outscored Penn State 13-7. Penn State had the ball 17.5 minutes and outscored Buffalo in their 17.5 minutes 38-0. It's not so much the time of possession. I don't mind if the time of possession disparity is 33-27 or 32-28, whatever. Because to me, it's the number of plays the opponent runs. How many plays is your defense on the field for? That's what I look at. Like Castro Fields, for example, is on the field for 71 plays, as an example. Micah Parsons played the most plays of his career, 67, the other night. Now, in terms of like Penn State time of possession, the name of the game is to score. And this is something that cannot be forgotten. Again, Penn State in its 17 and a half minutes did score 38 points. Hey, the name of the game is to get points. As much as you'd like to out physical teams, as much as you would like to, look, you do want to dominate the line of scrimmage. I got it. You want to. It's great when that happens. But you also need to score points. And if that means a nice, long, time-consuming drive, awesome. If it means you hit an 80-yard play, great. The other afternoon, Army lost to Michigan in double overtime. The critical play of the entire game was Army getting to the half-yard line. And then I think they were trying to run the same play they ran earlier in the game for a touchdown, where the quarterback sneaks it and the fullback goes and pushes him from behind. And the fullback moved and had to put his hand down, and they were called for false start. And suddenly Army was back on the 6-yard line, the 5.5, and didn't get home. They threw an interception on the next play on third down, threw a pick. And I remember when he went down at the half-yard line in the running play, I go, oh, boy, I wonder if that's going to cost him. Because I really felt Army needed to score on that play. Like, you're that close to scoring. Because the game, you're not guaranteed anything. We put together a long time-consuming drive. Did you get points? Buffalo put together a long time-consuming drive of 8:34. Got 3 points. Penn State ran one play to Pat Freiermuth. Got 7. It's all about, okay, that's the way the game is now. It's about points. How many points do you get? It's not about, you want to impose your will. A running game is great. Look, I want to see them run the ball. They're capable of running the ball. I got it. But let's turn the clock back a week. What did we say a week ago? The schedule steps up. So you go from Idaho, okay. And they said, look, this is good. They're going to face Buffalo next. That's a step up in competition. So you get a step up in competition. You win the game 45-13. Right? Had to fight your guts out in the first half, then finally get control of the second half because you stepped up in competition. We said they could run the ball. They could run the ball. I know. It's the time of possession thing, it's got to be in the 33, 32 to 27, 28 range where you feel comfortable, because to me it's the number of plays. When a team's on the field for 42 plus minutes defensively, that's a lot of plays that your guys have to play. And that is a big part of today's game. You're trying to reduce the number of plays that your guys are out there, because as the season goes, that will get to you. All right. Come back with more in a moment. Matt Leon today, Nate Bauer today, Bill Hillgrove tomorrow. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. On News Radio 1070 WKOK. For nearly 100 years, Purdy Insurance has been your locally owned, family-operated source for insurance products. With a staff of over 20 and partnerships with some of the industry's most trusted companies, Purdy has the experience and resources to get the job done. Whether you need personal, home, and auto, or complex business insurance solutions, Purdy will help you navigate through the process. Call today at 570-286-5855. Or better yet, stop in their Sunbury office to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you. We'll be right back.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy's have served the Valley for decades because they know their business. They're the best at it. Auto, home, life, business, they'll find you the right insurance, you're covered, but also the best price whenever available. And if there's ever a claim, you won't get better customer service than Purdy Insurance. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. We are in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Matt Leon on the Eagles in a moment. Next half hour will be Nate Bauer, Blue White Illustrated, on the Penn State win over Buffalo. Dave Cecchini, Bucknell's head coach, in the final half hour of today's show. Bill Hillgrove on tomorrow's show. Eagles yesterday fell behind 17-0 in a game that you heard on Eagle 107 yesterday with Merrill and Mike. And then they rallied and won the game 32-27, I think was the final yesterday. With that, we bring in Matt Leon from Philadelphia. Matt, welcome back, my friend. Great to have you with us.
Good to be with you.
Doug Peterson said he was too conservative last year and that he got back to his roots yesterday. Let's discuss the fourth down call where they're on their own side and he has Carson Wentz sneak it.
I think I've always been of the opinion, why don't more people go for it on fourth and one? I mean, unless you're like inside your own 10,
sure.
And especially when you've got a quarterback the size of Carson Wentz and you've got an offensive line that can get pushed like that. I think it's the right call. I think it was the right call there. Even if they don't make it, I think you're going to have a lot more success being aggressive than being passive. And I think Doug Peterson's resume shows that.
It's interesting because when Bill O'Brien was here, he told me that the first play they always put in a minicamp was the quarterback sneak with Brady. And, of course, we know what Brady's success has been with the quarterback sneak. It's been phenomenal over the years. He said, but that was always the first play that they put in. And you look at Army playing Michigan on Saturday. Army kept using four downs. And
yeah.
They kept drives alive with using four downs.
Yeah, I think if you're confident you can move the football and you can get movement up front, and I think you're slowly seeing things trend in this way, and it doesn't hurt that a quarterback like Peterson went to the Super Bowl 2 years ago with this,
sure.
With his mindset, and everybody starts to follow suit. But I really think from your own 30 out, for the most part, if you're facing fourth and one, fourth and a foot, I think it's almost foolish to not go for it because 97 out of 100 times you're probably going to make it.
Right. All right, so DeSean Jackson back in the mix with Philadelphia. What can he mean moving forward for Carson Wentz?
I think he saw it yesterday. It takes the top off of defenses. And I think the thing that was interesting was DeSean – even in his first incarnation here in Philadelphia and his stops in Washington and Tampa, he was always the deep threat, but that was kind of it. He was not a guy that was going to pile up, six, seven, eight catches. He had the two long touchdowns, and obviously they were huge, but he was very involved in the passing game, in the mid-range game, and it'll be interesting to see if that continues. But, I mean, the baseline here is his ability to take the top off the defenses. There are a lot of guys that can run fast in the NFL, and there are a lot of guys that can catch the ball in the NFL, but there aren't a lot of guys that can run fast that far and catch the ball. And it just adds so much to the offense. It opens things up. And, I think once they hit that first one, even though they were down 20-7 at the half, it kind of calmed everything down. And the Eagles were clearly the better team from that point on.
Now the next part, Miles Sanders. Taken with the 53rd overall pick or somewhere in that neighborhood, right? What did you think of what Miles Sanders can mean to this offense?
He had a nice touchdown run called back by a penalty. That was his best highlight of the day. Honestly, in the big picture, Miles Sanders is more important. Frankly, I thought Jordan Howard was the better back yesterday,
yep.
And I was kind of surprised that they didn't feed Howard a little more. But, you know, it's pretty obvious that they have Sanders well ahead of him on the depth chart. And it frankly looked like their first choice at running back was Darren Sproles, which kind of surprised me. And I think that was one of the reasons why the offense started slow. As much as you love Darren Sproles, I don't know if he's a guy that you want to be utilizing on multiple plays in a series and stuff like that. I think at this point in his career, in my opinion, he's best served as kind of your break glass type of break glass and type of emergency, and put him in on key spots and stuff like that. But that being aside, getting back to Miles Sanders, I think he's going to be a very big part of the offense, and I think he had the most carries of any of the backs. But I thought yesterday I was a little surprised that it became obvious that for whatever reason Jordan Howard was clicking the most of anybody, and they used him more in the second half, but they still seemed to be more focused on Sanders and Sproles. But I think Miles Sanders is going to be a very, very important piece of this puzzle. I think one of the things that you noticed, aside from the stuff that shows up in the stat sheet, great blitz pickup. I know one specifically they highlighted where a guy came free and he was able to tie him up right before he got the win. So that's usually the thing that holds rookie running backs back is the pass protection game. But to see him making plays like that, and that's probably a big reason why they have so much trust in him.
Right. Yesterday, the Redskins and Keenum, they got a fast start yesterday. Fast start. And then the Eagles settled down. It's easy to say, look at what the offense did. What settled the defense down?
I just think they kind of got back to playing their game. I think this is also, we watched that Thursday night Packers-Bears game when it was very apparent that a lot of people hadn't played in the preseason. I think a lot of that was, in that first half, you had a lot of guys that, not only hadn't played maybe in the preseason, but were also coming back from major surgeries, guys like Fletcher Cox and, you have Brandon Graham come. There were a lot of moving pieces, and I think you saw a little bit of that. I think they adjusted. They had a little bit of luck because Keenum should have had another deep pass, but he overthrew a guy because the guy had broken wide open, similar to the touchdown they had hit earlier. But the Redskins, it's going to be a struggle for them this year. I understand what they're trying to do with Darius Geis. They want him to be the guy. I didn't quite understand on opening day deactivating Adrian Peterson when he had a nice year, had a 90-yard touchdown at the link last year when he took on the Eagles. So I think it was Eagles shaking off rust. I'm sure there were some X and O adjustments, but it was also kind of both teams reverting to the mean as the game went on.
What does Malik Jackson's injury mean?
It hurts. You're talking a three-down defensive guy in the middle. It sounds like they're not quite sure. He's going to be out for some time, but I don't think they quite have a grasp on whether it's going to be surgery, how long, season-ending, anything like that. It shortens the rotation in the middle. And, Fletcher Cox is all world, but Fletcher Cox is coming off surgery. And, in the short term, it might have to accelerate him, getting back into top form and stuff like that. They're going to have to, have one of the younger defensive linemen step up and take a little bit more of the rotation. I'll be interested, based on nothing at all, if they don't try to bring in maybe another veteran defensive tackle or defensive lineman. There's some guys out there that, have experience with the Eagles, and if they could coax a Chris Long. I know he's an end, but we keep hearing Connor Barwin's name bandied about, that he's, in game shape and interested in coming to Philadelphia. We'll see. I think they probably need a timetable before they decide where to go from here. But they had some defensive linemen. They got a lot of snaps in the preseason and looked pretty good. So we'll see how it plays out.
Does this put more pressure on Tim Jernigan and Hassan Ridgeway?
Oh, I think so, yeah. It ups everybody's ante in the middle there. Jernigan looked good, had a big sack at the end of the half. You hope that Jackson isn't out for the season and that he can come back.
Right.
But I think this is an injury that they can overcome.
Eagles will get the Falcons next on Sunday night. Just your quick thought.
Falcons have given them trouble down there. They've handled them up here. Julio Jones signed that big extension, was not that big of a factor in their opener against Minnesota. I didn't see any of the game, but it doesn't sound like they were clicking at all. It'll be a good test. It's always a tough test going down there. You know, the secondary struggled in the first half against Case Keenum. You know, what was 17 points against Washington in a poor, you know, poor run of the first half could become 35 against a more talented team like Atlanta. So you can't, you know, have that type of defensive effort, and I don't think we will. But it'll be interesting. It'll be a big test.
Always a pleasure, man. I know you have to get to your next appointment. We appreciate it very much, my friend.
Thank you, sir. Take care.
Next half hour, Nate Bauer from Blue White Illustrated. More in a moment. Brought to you by Purdy Insurance on News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC Way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC Way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC Way. The SMC Way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years. Great to have you with us. Here on this Monday, brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. All right. Penn State and Pitt Saturday. At Beaver Stadium at noon. I'm beginning at 10:30. So, 100th meeting. And most important thing for Penn State is to go out and get this thing done. Pitt is a step up from what they've played so far. I'll tell you what I like about them. First of all, let's start with the center and left guard combination of Morrissey and Hargrove. Like them. It's good. It's good look. Kenny Pickett has been an up-and-down quarterback. But he's coming off a game where he played really well. He threw for 321 against Ohio University, which is a career high. But then you look at Virginia, he threw for 185. See what I mean? He is capable of big days like Ohio. He's capable of days where he struggles like Virginia. So he's never really been able to find that level of consistency. And you don't know on a given day what you're going to get. He could come out on Saturday and play an Ohio University game. Be accurate, move around. Now, he has the receivers to do it. Maurice French is very good. Trey Tipton's good. Taysier Mack, you saw him play at Indiana. He's good. Running backs, they had two really good ones last year, Hall and Allison. This year, Davis, Sibley, and then the freshman Vincent Davis, A.J. Davis, Todd Sibley, and Vincent Davis. They're all very good backs. Up front, they've had two major losses, Weaver and Keyshawn Camp. They're both out for the year. Both had knee surgery. Amir Watts is a very good defensive tackle. Jalen Twyman's coming off a really good game. The linebackers are good. Pine, Reynolds, Bright, Campbell. Their secondary, I think, is very good. But here's the problem that you have with Pitt right now defensively. As I said, I think the secondary is very good. Ford, DeMar Hamlin, Dane Jackson, Jason Pinnock.
Damari Mathis. But here's the issue. Four of the top five tacklers for Pitt this season happen to be their secondary guys. Some of that's on pass plays. Some of that is people getting to the third level. So, I mean, that's what they have. Kicking game is, I mean, the return game. French can be really good in the return game. And he's both the punt and kickoff return guy. Kessman is at a 56-yarder in his career, but he missed a couple field goals on Saturday. So, again, you know, you're not sure. And Christodoulou, the punter, same thing. I mean, they have guys that are capable of having really good days, and they also have a couple guys that can struggle. So, that's where they are right now. And Pitt has decided this week to close all access to their players. Not unusual. They've done that before, so that's not an unusual move when it comes to this game. But just thought it was just a point of interest. So, Pat Narduzzi says he'll give answers on any day. It doesn't mean he necessarily mean he's going to do press conferences every day, but he may provide answers through questions that E.J. Borghetti gets or whatever. And E.J.'s outstanding at his job, by the way. And that's where it is. It is not on the schedule for the foreseeable future. In fact, you would say at minimum, through at least 2027. The way Penn State's schedule is set is quite simple. You need seven home games. So on odd years like this year, Penn State plays four Big Ten games at home. That means all three non-conference games have to be here. On even years, 2022, 24, 26, Penn State has five home games in the Big Ten, which means you can play two games non-conference at home, and that gives you the option of playing one game away. So that's why you schedule the one home and away. Well, once the series with Pitt is done, they'll do a home and away spread out a bit with Virginia Tech at Virginia Tech next year, then later in the line. I want to say they're playing Virginia Tech again in 20, man, I think it might be 25. Right? Then they've got Auburn here in 21, on the Plains in 22. Then they've got West Virginia 23, 24. And then they have Temple 26, 27. So that's where that spot is being taken up over the next few years. That one non-conference spot. So that's why you look at that, and then you can say with almost complete assurance and confidence that at least through 2027 they are playing each other. Because that one spot is already filled. And that's essentially what they have. I remember years ago Penn State was going to play Army. And end up being a pretty good game. That's because Army's a pretty good team. They're a good team. Yeah, Michigan found that out. But I remember speaking out in Newcastle, and they said, what are we playing Army for? We should be playing Pitt. If you're somebody who loves soccer, baseball, wrestling, volleyball, right? Those seven home games are critical to the financial formula that allows you to have 31 sports. It's just the way it is. And I think that is something that can't be forgotten. I mean, for Penn State, it's a combination of the bowl money, the TV money, the radio network money, the 7 home games and football money, things like that. That's how you have 31 sports. So that's why you need the 7 home games. Great to have you with us on the show today. Nate Bauer in the next half hour. From Bluewood Illustrated, Dave Cecchini, Bucknell Coach, final half hour. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.